Hello, everyone. I am back after an 11-hour drive to get a haircut. I had quite a bit taken off. My son cuts hair for himself and for anybody else that wants to risk it. And so his old man said, I need a haircut. So he took a lot off the sides and the back, but I drove an 11-hour car ride to get a haircut. Of course, it was also an opportunity to spend 6 days with my adorable grandchildren. Everybody says their grandchildren are the most adorable creatures on earth, and their parents in Chicago. Driving back last Wednesday, I got to see the beauty of our state, Pennsylvania, along Route 80. It's a five-hour trip, as many of you know, across the state, but always, always good to be home. Welcome to Bethany United Church of Christ in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, for this virtual worship service. This is our last live stream service, as we will be back together next Sunday, July 5, in the air-conditioned Fellowship Hall at 10 a.m. If you are new to Bethany United Church of Christ, or if you were a member of the Bethany Church family and have been tuning in to these services, I now heartily invite you to attend and join this wonderful community in person. We will be observing safe guidelines. Remember to wear your mask. Again, for the summer, for July and August, we will gather in the air-conditioned fellowship hall downstairs here at Bethany Church at 10 a.m. beginning July 5. We hope to see you above our masks. Thank you very much to those who attended the brainstorming session on Saturday to share ideas and on how we can increase our support for Bethany Church. Special thanks to Matt Miller, our consistory president, for his leadership. The summer meal program for children continues this week on Monday and Wednesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. out of Star of Bethlehem Lutheran Church. The handbell choir of Bethany Church will gather for a rehearsal next week, July 1st at 5:30 in Snyder Chapel. You are invited still to share prayer requests by emailing me or the church office so that we can include those in our prayer time. And so now let us worship God with the prelude. Welcome to Bethany United Church of Christ.
Family. But the call is also God's promise.
A promise of forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, and eternal life in that realm that has no end. Let us worship God. We sing now the first hymn, The God of Abraham Prays.
Abraham said, God himself
will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And now from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, Romans 6, verses 12 through 23. "Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural inclinations and limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free. You were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And Matthew 10, verses 40 through 42, our gospel. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." Here are the readings of God's word to us this day. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Haven't our lives kind of been on hold during this COVID-19 season, and yet it goes on? Still, our daily lives are built around people and things we enjoy, special friends, a spouse, a business venture, possessions, future plans. Perhaps you might be dreaming of that time when you can get away. These are the pillars and beams of our earthly support system. And if one of these is removed, we sometimes feel, don't we, as though the framework of our lives is collapsing around us. But there are times when God says, Let it go. Let go. And the nuts and bolts that hold our world together suddenly snap. If you've ever been in that situation, you know the pressure a test like that can exert on your faith. Abraham, that great patriarch of the Old Testament, was well acquainted with such strenuous tests. In today's Old Testament's amazing lesson in Genesis, we see this one that challenged his confidence in God, and we see how Abraham's unwavering example encourages you and me to steady our own lives in times of testing. First of all, when we give up someone or something important, it is always painful, always painful. Possessions with the suddenness of lightning, fire ravages through a home. Tidal waves flood coastline condos, tornadoes level a town. And a lifetime of possessions can be turned to ash, mud, rubble. Business, occupations, and projects. Business reversals, loss of employment, the millions of people experiencing that in these days. Failure of pet projects. These can obliterate a lifetime of investment and hard work. Plans and dreams, goals fail, and ideas fizzle. We all have personal dreams of getting that degree, making that business investment, starting that ministry, having that marriage. But some of those plans are never realized, and the death of these aspirations can be excruciating. People and relationships. There's probably nothing more difficult than losing a loved one, particularly in this season of COVID-19. Nothing more difficult than when you and I struggled to let go at the grave of a loved one. And who can possibly describe the feelings of rejection and loneliness initiated by divorce? Any time of departure is hard for people in relationship. Well, sometimes people and things can become too important. We grip them with closed fists and white knuckles, and God has to pry open our fingers to loosen our hold. Perhaps, and I wonder if that's the way it was with Abraham and his son Isaac. Abraham has experienced many tests by the time chapter 22 opens, but none of these tests compared to what he is about to face. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." And God said, "Take your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Wow. God's command is clear. This is to be Abraham's greatest test. Well, aren't there times when your future seems to balance on a single decision? Abraham is at that point. Does he do what God asks, or does he ignore God? Notice when God tests Abraham after his heart has become affectionately entwined with his son Isaac. F.B. Meyer, in his work, The Obedience of Faith, tells it like this. Nothing else in the circumference of Abraham's life could have been such a test as anything connected with the heir of promise, the child of his old age, the laughter of his life. So he put him to the supreme test that all might henceforth know that a mortal person could love God so much as to put him first, though his dearest lay in the opposite scale of the balance of the heart. Now, God did not require the boy Isaac to serve in the temple as, for example, Samuel had. Rather, God called for Isaac's very life as a burnt offering. All or nothing. God wants to test the authenticity of Abraham's faith, and Isaac is God's best tool. Well, my friends, there are times when we look up full-throated, full-hearted, and prayerfully say, Lord, in this crisp, clear, beautiful moment, you have everything that I own. You have all of me. There is nothing, nothing that I hold back. Well, it's amazing, isn't it, how soon after those times of commitment, God seems to require something sacred in our lives that puts us to the test. Well, Abraham chooses to obey God's command, and there are three wonderful things about his obedience. One, it was immediate. It was immediate. We read of no plea bargaining, arguing, resisting, or doubting. Abraham hears and obeys. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Imagine with me how Abraham felt as he saw the outline of Moriah on the horizon and was about to look at his only son for the last time. It was immediate, an immediate response. Two, Abraham's obedience was based on faith. His obedience was based on faith. Abraham resolved to do as the Lord directed. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, how can Abraham be so confident that he and Isaac will not only go and worship, but also return? Isn't Isaac to be sacrificed? The book of Hebrews gives the answer. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. Abraham had been promised descendants through Isaac. And if he had learned anything, it was that God keeps his word. So Abraham reasons, if Isaac is to be slain, God must be planning to raise him from the dead. In the midst of this incredible test, his faith never wavers. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. Abraham knows what is coming. Isaac, however, doesn't when he asks, but where is the lamb? To which his dad replies, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. We see no hint that Abraham is bitter toward God, no signs of argument or doubt, as I said. On the contrary, every step up the mountain is taken in trust. Thirdly, Abraham's obedience, his obedience was thorough and complete. With methodical movement, with silent obedience, Abraham prepares for the sacrifice. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Then Abraham put forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Well, I ask, what of Isaac's spirit? What is he thinking at this time? His spirit is as strong as his father's. He too trusted and obeyed, evidence that his father Abraham had planted seeds of tremendous courage. Well, Abraham's arm is extended upward over his son, knife poised, ready to plunge. But the action is arrested by this urgent voice. The angel of the Lord calls to him from heaven and says, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Here I am. And the angel said, do not lay your hand upon the lad or do anything to him to harm him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. God knew what Abraham would do. It was Abraham who needed to see the extent of his faith. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son Isaac. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is to this day, "on the mount of the Lord it will be provided." Now, this story isn't merely ancient history. It is a lesson for you and for me. God tells us as well, let go. When we retain for ourselves what God asks us to release to God, if we are holding on to something too tightly, we need release the grip and watch God work. Secondly, what we release to God, God replaces with something even more valuable. Again, what we release to God, God replaces with something even more valuable. In Abraham's case, God requested and returned Isaac. Having gone through the testing, Abraham was able to value his son with new objectivity. Though Isaac was Abraham's son, he belonged to God for his purposes in creating a whole new people and nation. Whatever we release to God will increase our value of God's purposes. Thirdly, when God replaces, God also rewards. When God replaces, he also rewards. What began as great loss for Abraham became his greatest gain, a people, a nation. God rewards obedience. Well, my friends, what an amazing story. You remember it from Sunday school? But it can be our story. It can be when we let go and let God. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you in faith, but we fall way short of the faith of Abraham. But still, his example shows us that you are faithful, that you will provide for us in times of great testing. You give us that advocate through Christ, the Lamb of redemption and promise. He is our substitute. He saves our life and restores us. So thank you, God, for the witness of your word and the lessons for our lives. Let all the people say, amen. As has been our custom, we take a moment to give thanks to God for the offerings that Bethany has received from you and from your lives, this gift of what God has entrusted to you to support the ministries of Bethany United Church of Christ, and we are grateful. We're also grateful for the ways that you give to others as well, and we raise them and lift them up to God. So let us pray now for the dedication of all of our offerings. Gracious God, giver of all good things, we are mindful of the many blessings you provide, even life itself. We ask your blessing on all offerings received in support of Bethany Church, and we ask your special blessing on the amazing gifts that are given to the many needs of this time in our lives and for our world, for your people near and far. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now I invite you to a time of prayer, and I will share some concerns. As we have been lifting these up, we need to continue to be a praying people and to remember these in our prayers. We remember all the suffering of the world, particularly with this COVID-19 virus that continues, understanding that there are 26 states that still have outbreaks and the numbers of cases that are increasing. So we remember all those affected by that. We remember all who have lost loved ones. We remember all who are still on the front lines battling this disease, particularly in nursing homes and care centers. We remember all those who cannot be with family. We remember the millions of unemployed folk. We remember all who in these days are raising voices for justice for all in these days of turbulence and unrest. Our governing officials in law proposals and adoptions. We remember our churches, as many are looking soon to reopen, but in a very new and different way, but a safe way. We would remember the ill of our congregation and all that we know but are known to God. We remember all of our homebound members here at Bethany and pray for God to comfort them and to bless them and give them peace. So let us come to God now for prayer with the petitions of our own hearts and needs. Let us pray. O God, who is well able to do all that you have promised, we thank you for the many evidences of your gracious love, which are afforded us through the pages of your written word. We are grateful for the witness of women and men like Sarah and Abraham, who believed beyond any reasonable expectations, because they had your assurances of descendants more numerous than the stars in the heavens. We claim our inheritance through them by seeking to emulate their faith and trust, even in the face of the most unlikely odds. Acknowledging our many sins, we should count it most unlikely that we still find acceptance in your holy sight. Still, by faith, we know that we are counted as worthy and righteous through the perfect sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, who died that we might be forgiven and rose that we might share in eternity. We truly know what it is to find a hope in the midst of the impossible. We have discovered that faith which still fills our souls with power. So arouse in us, O God, an eagerness to become bearers of the good news of salvation to all those who are still caught in the web of sin and unknowing. Send us into the most unlikely places to offer our hands up to those who are degraded, for people who believe that they are forgotten in the swift rush of life about them. Let us be messengers of that caring love which is still central in a universe where you are not only creator but also sustainer. Use us, O God, for the link between despair and hope as we display the vitality of people of the promise which is there for all to share. In our enthusiasm about bringing change to our world, may we never lose sight of the source of all power, humbly seeking no satisfaction greater than that which comes of knowing that we have opened a path by which Christ can move in our midst. Through the same, our Lord, Redeemer, and Friend, we pray together now, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Thank you.
my friends, let us recall the amazing obedience and trust of Abraham and the letting go and letting God that is part of faith. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.